Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Secrets of a Serial Killer. I'm your host, Nick, and today we're going to be talking about Lonnie David Franklin Jr., aka the Grim Sleeper, one of the most notorious black serial killers in history. So I decided to give him an episode of his own. We're going to be talking about other serial killers in this podcast episode, but I'm going to be giving them their own episode later on because one is a very well-known serial killer in the history of serial killers. And the other one, you know, he's going to get his too. So, yeah, I got a lot of work on my hands, honestly. So, let's get into it, shall we? So, Lonnie, he had anywhere between 10 to 25 or more victims, but he also had one survivor. He was born August 30th, 1952, and he was raised in South Central Los Angeles. Not much is known about his earlier years or his teenage years as well. He was a very respected man, though, and he worked for the city as a sanitation worker. He worked at the police station at one time as a garage mechanic before he became a regular mechanic, but he got into stealing cars and reselling them. He once served in the U.S. Army, but he was dishonorably discharged for participating in a gang rape of a 17-year-old girl in Germany. Yikes. This may have been the beginning of his criminal life and hatred towards women, but it dates back to 1969, where he caught a misdemeanor assault, car theft, and misdemeanor battery. He did get locked up for these crimes. When he moved to LA, he married a woman named Sylvia, and he had two children with her. Lonnie had eyes for other women as well, and the whole community knew that he was a dog. His friend, Ray Davis, said that he would brag about it. He would have weed on him and he'd give it to his girlfriends. Each one of the girls had a nickname due to how their breasts looked. His friends knew about his box of Polaroids, 500 photos of unconscious nude women. This would help police in their investigation later on, from photos, jewelry, to an ID from his last victim. Also items from missing women who were never found. Serial killers love to keep trophies, and the king of all the trophies in the world is the man himself, Jeffrey Dahmer. I think in my, you know, my whatever opinion, serial killers keep trophies because one, it lets them relive the murder over again, or it's like, oh man, that was a good murder, or man, that was a good time. Kind of like when you see a photo or a video pop up on your Facebook memories or Snapchat memories, it's like, you having a good time with the people around you, or like you were in a relationship that you're no longer in, or it's like someone you love that is now dead, and you're like, man, that was such a good time, take me back. I think that's how serial killers feel, you know. I don't know. So in 1985, Deborah Jackson, a cocktail waitress, she was found dead with three bullets in her chest. She was the first known victim of the Grim Sleeper. So in 1986, 35-year-old Henry Hedda Wright, she was found half-naked under a mattress in Highland Park area. She was also shot. Well, Lieutenant Joseph Freya said that there were no known suspects at that time. Wasn't until later the kill was tied in, but at the time, police didn't put two and two together. Lonnie lived in a crime-filled area, so a serial killer was the last thing on the police's list. 2 days after Hedda Wright was found, another woman was found dead. 57-year-old Thomas Steele, a black male, and he was actually the only male victim of the Grim Sleeper. He was found in Harvard Park, but the Grim Sleeper was never convicted of that murder. Still, it was a probable victim of his. Not sure why Steele was killed that night. He was, however, charged with prostitution, and he was in town while visiting his sister, and at that time period, everything was wild. Everything from gang violence to other serial killers like the Southside Strangler, Michael Hughes. He was killing sex workers in the same area, who was also a former security guard. He killed four women in 1992 and 1993. He was caught and convicted, and even to three other crimes in 2011. I mean, him and the Grim Sleeper are two black serial killers going after black prostitutes in the area. Also, the Night Stalker was active at the time as well. So January of 1987, 23-year-old Barbara Ware was kidnapped and murdered. An unknown caller let police know what car Franklin was driving when he kidnapped Barbara. Someone had threw her out of the van. He gave him the license plate as well. It was found in an abandoned church 4 blocks away. See, the problem is, that wasn't Lonnie's car. He's good at carjacking and car theft. So he probably stole that vehicle and then threw her in there. And then when he tossed her out, he ended up leaving it out of the abandoned church. So that's why he didn't get caught. So February 2009, 22 years later, they released the van information hoping to get leads. But back in 1987, it didn't help because they didn't have much evidence at that time, you know, due to the technology that they were available with at that time period. So April of 1987, 26-year-old Benita Sparks, she was shot and she was laying in a trash bin with her shirt pretty much lifted up and her pants unbuttoned. The next victim was Mary Lowe. She was on her way to a Halloween party in 1988. She was on her way to a Halloween party. She was also shot. And in 1988, Acuna Jefferson, I don't know how to say that name, she had a cocaine addiction. And she was killed with a 25 caliber gun, like everybody else was. She was found dead with a napkin on her face saying AIDS. This was the first time that the Grim Sleeper left a note on the body. We don't know if she actually had AIDS and he knew about it. We don't know if he fucked her and got the AIDS from her and so he decided to do that, or was he just trying to humiliate her, or did she have a scare one time and she told him, like, hey, one guy almost gave me AIDS. We don't know exactly why he did that. So, he loved degrading women and he hated them, so we're not sure what the reasoning was. She only lived 4 doors down from him. So, in September of 1988, 18-year-old Alice Monique Alexandria, she was discovered in 48th and Western, and she was shot in an alleyway. She supposedly was the 8th victim of the Grim Sleeper, and her father accused the police for not doing enough. This played a role also for the Southside Slayer and the Night Stalker. The public outcry led to police indictment and coloration. So February of 1989, Detective Richard Hero and his partner came across a real suspect, LA County Sheriff Ricky Ross. No, not the rapper Rick Ross or the drug dealer Rick Ross. This dude was in the police department working in narcotics, and he was found in his car smoking crack and hanging out with a sex worker. So they searched his car and found a 9mm handgun, and they sent it in to the station, and ballistic experts said that the LAPD had screwed up on his gun DNA, which led to false information, and Ross didn't have coke in his system like they claim he did. So he was fired for alcohol and drugs and also soliciting a prostitute, but Ross later filed a $400 million civil lawsuit. He believed that the ballistics were falsified by the LAPD. He didn't win, but they paid him under the table in silence. So November 1988, Nitra was assaulted but was his only surviving victim. The Grim Sleeper was so freaked out that he took a long break. She had to wait over 20 years for justice. Not sure if it was a break or the bodies never turned up. Don't know for sure. But he was working as a sanitation worker for the city, so he probably used his job to make the bodies disappear. Not sure. A lot of people think that serial killers can't take a break. They can. Jeffrey Dahmer even said that he took himself a break. But then eventually the urges kicked in. The guy that we talked about, and the story before this, the Southside Strangler, he pretty much quit. If it wasn't for, you know, him being brought in with those other 92 people and having his DNA taken, he would still be a free man. And he wouldn't be a serial killer anymore either. Dennis Rader, he took a 8-year hiatus, you know what I'm saying? So I believe serial killers can eventually stop killing, but it all depends on the killer. You know what I'm saying? So, I think some can stop and some cannot. It just depends on who the person is. I think the Zodiac took a break for a little bit and then came back to it, you know. It just depends, you know. I'm not sure, though. I'm just speculating. That's just my thoughts. So, in 2001, LAPD Police Chief Bernard Parks began reopening old murder cases using new DNA technologies. The Grim Sleeper woke up in 2002. Because, you know, he took a long break and then he came back to it. That's why they call him the Grim Sleeper. So, in 2002, Princess Bartholomew, she was a 15-year-old black girl who had been in foster care her whole life. Well, Police Sergeant Chris Kuna, he investigated on the Six Times case, and she was actually a victim. So, while the trial began, she was missing. She never showed up for court at all. So, the next time that the sergeant saw her was on a flyer, and it said, "Help to identify the sleeper's victim." She was found dead on the street in Inglewood, naked in an alley, sexually assaulted and strangled. This was the Grim Sleeper's new path. We don't know if he stopped using a gun because, you know, the police were on to him. Did he feel like strangling them? He wouldn't leave as much evidence behind. Did he make it more personal because he strangled them and he liked that better? We don't know why he decided. Was he involving? What was his reasoning for him going from shooting women to now strangling them? I think he was involving and also trying to, you know, not be so obvious. His next victim was Valerie McCrory. I don't know how to say these last names. I'm so sorry. She was strangled with her pants pulled down in an alley. Detective Cliff Shepard connected Mary Lowe to Princess with preserved DNA. So in 2006, police thought that they had their killer, Roger Houseman. He was a repo man, and he was suspected of killing sex workers and Fresno. After beating a sex worker, he allegedly said, "You're harder to kill than the other ones." He had a parking ticket in Inglewood at the time of the murder, so they arrested him and they looked at him as a suspect. The issue was he was white, and the Grim Sleeper's living victim said that her attacker was black, the only person to give a full detailed description. They took his DNA. It wasn't a match. I wonder, did they, like, you know, arrest him anyways? Because, like, he did, like, assault a prostitute. And he did say, "You're harder to kill than the others." So please tell me y'all did not let this man free. Please tell me y'all locked his ass up. It doesn't say. Oh, God. A homeless man was walking around 9500 Western Avenue in Los Angeles, and he noticed a black garbage bag laying in the middle of the street, tied with a twist tie and placed next to a discarded Christmas tree. Okay, wonder why the Christmas tree was out there. So, inside of it was 25-year-old Janine, I don't know how to say her name. She was shot in the back of the head and strangled, and she was also fully nude, but with a gold-hearted necklace on her neck. So, the 600 Task Force was created, which consists of six detectives and Chief Bill Bratton, in 2007. They met up in a room at headquarters with the sign on the door saying "No Press." The walls were covered with pictures of all the deceased women, and three of the bodies were linked so far. Well, LA Weekly broke the news to the public, naming Lonnie the Grim Sleeper. Not even the families were let in on what was going on, and the victims' families were pissed. So police didn't even set out reward. I guess they really wanted to catch this motherfucker, but that's the problem. You didn't set out a reward for this person's capture, and you didn't let the public know, so you let this guy go on longer than what he was supposed to, because the public would have seen something. But I don't know, at the same time, you don't know. The sleeper left behind dry saliva on the victim's breasts, but it didn't show up in the database. They were thinking, if he had a relative, we can use them. It's called familial DNA. I've never heard about that before. That's crazy, and you don't hear about that in the other stories with other serial killers. It's a 50-50. Some people think it's a false positive, and some people think it's an invasion of privacy. So Chris Franklin, which is Lonnie's son, was arrested for felony weapon charges. he was taken into custody. They fingerprinted him and did his DNA logged and just added it into the system. Well, in 2010, when Jerry Brown gave the PD the green light to do their testing by using the markers to set up a DNA file, family members who were similar would be flagged in the system. His DNA was a match to the sleepers. They needed to get Lonnie's DNA on file before they could arrest him. So they put him under a 24-hour surveillance. Well, he was at a local police place and he was eating, and an undercover detective pretended to be a busboy and tried to get close to Lonnie. Well, he recovered a hot slice of pizza and glassware with Lonnie's fingerprints on them, and they were able to arrest him in 2010. Imagine that. A hot slice of pizza and glassware with your prints on it led to your arrest. Damn. At the trial, Anitra Washington, she gave the full story on what happened that night. They interrogated him, and he denied their claims. He giggled in one of their responses to... He giggled. I guess they said something to him. I don't know exactly what they said, but he giggled, and I guess that was a big deal. But he did get mad when they said that he drove down Western Avenue to sleep with sex workers. I guess he didn't like that. But throughout the interrogation, he seemed detached and bored. He doesn't recognize any of the women, he says. Even the part that was trying to get a rise out of him, they actually said to him, all those victims laying there looking at Lonnie David Franklin Jr. and pointing the finger at you. Lonnie was silent. No matter what they said to him, all they got was silence. Some questions on how his DNA got on the victims, and he said he didn't know them. The interrogation was nothing but frustrating for the detectives, and the families and Miss Washington had a lot to say, because, you know, they got to stand up there and speak their mind to him. Lonnie was sentenced to death in 2016. So here's a few facts and some secrets. The neighbors thought that he was a good guy. His buddy of 40 years, Cole, said he saw the photo saying that they looked like the women were drunk or dead or something. He had been married to his second wife for 30 years, but thinks that his first wife sparked something in him. His first wife was addicted to crack cocaine. He would give her money for bills, but then he'd come home to youngsters in his home and her sitting there smoking crack. And that's what set him off. But we're not 100% sure. They're saying his first victim, or one of his victims, he killed, he actually said the wife's name. I'm not really sure. This can be a factor. Let me explain. Because there was a guy in Cleveland, Ohio. He drove a car like mine. And he hopped out on this. He was a black guy and he hopped out on this African-American veteran who was just walking down the street and he pulled a gun out on him. And he was like, look what you're going to make me do to this guy. And he would say the girl's name. He was like, please, please don't do it. And he just like opened fire on the man, like killing him. I watched the whole entire thing. And I'm like, am I a witness to a murder? Because I literally was like, dude, why would you kill an old guy just because this woman broke your heart? Same thing with Ted Bundy. Diane Edwards broke his heart, so he turned around and killed a bunch of women that looked just like her. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if this is true, but I heard that the girl that Hitler was in love with was Jewish, and she didn't like him back, and his stepfather who abused him was also Jewish. That's the reason why he hated Jews. I don't know. I was trying to say Jews and Jewish at the same time, and it didn't come out good at all. So I don't know. It could have been that reason. We don't know. You know, sometimes I got mad and blamed women in general. I was like, fuck them all. They're all sluts, blah, 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 just because I had my heart broken. So I could see that being a factor as well. Well, he was placed in San Quentin Prison. Well, on March 28th, 2020, Franklin was found unresponsive in his prison cell at 7:20 p.m. Prison medical staff rendered aid and summoned for an ambulance. He was pronounced dead at 7:43 p.m. He had no signs of trauma on his body, and Thornton, the prison spokeswoman, told People magazine at the time, adding that authorities didn't know why he died and that the autopsy was scheduled. After Franklin's death, Diane Warren, stepmother of the victim Barbara, told People, I won't say I'm pleased he died, but in the end, there was justice for all the bad things he did in his life. We can now be at peace. So, people don't know how death row works. You can be put on death row, and you might be up there for a very long time. Most people die before, you know, they get executed. There's been a small, you know, percentage like John Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy who actually died because of their, you know. Also, H.H. Holmes, too. Those were the only three guys that I know that were put on death row and actually died. Holmes was hung, Gacy, lethal injection, and also Bundy had lethal injection as well. So that is the story of the Grim Sleeper, a.k.a. Lonnie David Franklin Jr. So thank you guys for listening to another episode. I'm going to go ahead and start on these other serial killers because the problem is I've been procrastinating and waiting to the last moment, and then, boom, this ended up happening. So I hope y'all have a wonderful night, day, whenever you're listening to this. Thank you for the love and support. I know it sucks because mom's not up here anymore. For all you, like, people that used to listen, I know I had an episode made for me and mom. It was talking about, you know, the shopping cart killer, which I did all the research for him. I was going to send it all over to her. And then I'd do Antoine Pittman, who was from our hometown. But I feel like it'd be cooler if I had her up there. Maybe I'll have her up here one day. Maybe I can. But right now we're not seeing eye to eye. But, you know, I love you guys. And I will catch you in the next episode. Don't be grim. But let's be a heavy sleeper. TTYN. Ta-ta for now.